The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Part 6. When Mercedes unlocked the front door the next morning, she had the mail under one arm and her Starbucks latte in the other hand. She put the mail down on her desk and looked around. There was a strange sound in the house, and it took her a moment to identify what it was. The shower was running. Since both Andrew and Jim were always up and working long before she arrived, this was rather unusual. She checked her own watch, but she wasn't early. She followed the sound and walked through the lobby into the small back hall where the bathroom was. Jim had his own bathroom off his bedroom, but Andrew usually used this one, even though it meant he had to go down 2 flights of stairs. Mercedes knocked on the door with one finger and made her voice flirty and teasing. "Morning, Andrew. Did you oversleep or something?" The door was unlocked, and Mercedes gave a startled gasp when Feline poked her head out. Her hair was wet and filled with soap. "What?" Mercedes looked away, embarrassed. "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to disturb... Wait, why are you taking a shower here?" "Because I slept here." Feline pulled her head back in and closed the door. Mercedes turned her head just in time to see Andrew come down the stairs, wearing nothing but his boxers and carrying a towel. The gears inside her head clicked, and she felt a peculiar sensation of irritation, embarrassment, and anger. "Morning," Andrew said as he spotted her. "Yeah, I'm sorry. We overslept a bit." "Yes, I see." She could hear the chill in her own voice and hated herself a little for it. Andrew was a grown man, and Feline was whatever the hell she was. She had no business telling them what to do. Still, she had felt she and Andrew had been building up to something, and the jealousy was hard not to act on. "I'm sure you're exhausted. I'll be out front." Mercedes spun on her heel and walked towards the lobby, but Andrew's voice sounded behind her. "Have you seen Jim anywhere? I don't think he slept in his bed last night." "I'll check his office. Maybe he actually got some work done while you..." She stopped herself mid-sentence and bit her lip. "I'm sorry. That was really uncalled for." "Kind of, yeah." Andrew scratched his hair, which was standing out every which way. "I know Jim doesn't always sleep a whole lot, but is that normal for him to stay out all night?" "It used to be, but I don't know anymore. He was here when we got back from the morgue last night, but he must have gone out again. Maybe he got some kind of lead on a case." "Yeah, maybe." She still stood with her back to him. "Look, you two finish washing up and getting ready. I'll be out front." She walked into the lobby and put both hands on her cheeks. They felt like they were on fire. "Damn it," she mumbled. "She's a freaking cat. How the hell can he find that attractive?" Quickly searching the office and kitchen, Mercedes found that Jim wasn't in the house. She sat down at her desk and began going through the mail, turning on her computer, and once in a while sipped at her coffee until Andrew came out front, this time dressed and showered with his own cup of coffee in hand. "Are you okay?" he asked as he leaned on the corner of her desk. "Why?" Mercedes' fingers typed quickly on the keyboard. Several reasons, but the most obvious ones are that your face looks like a tomato and you're typing gibberish on your computer." She looked at her screen and sighed. "Right. Okay. I guess that just startled me a little. Seeing you two together?
Why?
Because she's not exactly human, in case you forgot.
She looks human enough to me.
Mercedes slammed her hand into the table. You know exactly what I mean. She's a cat inside. She doesn't think like you and I.
Andrew looked at her, his face serious. Did anyone ever tell you that something different might be interesting? I would honestly have expected you to be a bit more open-minded, considering...
He gestured to the house around them.
Oh, I'm open-minded,
Mercedes said, her voice gaining an edge she didn't care for herself.
But I don't want to see anyone get hurt by... Well, by screwing around with...
Who's screwing around with who?
Jim's voice sounded from the door. He was taking off his sunglasses and looked at both of them.
Nobody,
Mercedes said.
What the hell is going on here? You two look like you were about to have a fight.
We weren't.
Mercedes looked embarrassed now, and even Andrew looked uncomfortable.
I was just expressing my concerns to Andrew, that's all.
Concerns over someone who is, in your words, screwing around?
Jim said.
I'm honestly not sure that it's either of you two's business who anyone does anything with when they're both consenting adults with...
You made it with Rhea last night, didn't you?
Andrew said. His face changed to a grin.
You thought we were talking about you.
What? No, I didn't... I wasn't...
Jim's stern manner left him in an instant.
That's really none of your business.
Mercedes held up both hands.
Okay, there is way too much sex talk this early in the morning. Get to work, you guys. I have stuff to do out here.
Andrew turned around and walked back to his office. Jim took off his jacket and headed into his own office. But before he closed the door, he heard Mercedes mumble,
You'd think I worked at the freaking Playboy Mansion.
Jim sat down behind his desk and pulled his phone from his pocket. He was unsure of the way things worked today. Was he supposed to send a text message thanking her for the night? Or perhaps send flowers? No, that was probably out of style by now, and Bob would never let him hear the end of it if he sent a bouquet of flowers to the Convergence Club. In fact, they might never make it into Rhea's room. If he'd not just had the conversation he had, he might have asked Mercedes or Andrew what would be the best thing to do. But apparently there was some other kind of friction in the air. He had known for a while that Feline fancied Andrew. She'd told him so herself, but he also had the feeling Mercedes had her eye on the handsome young man. Maybe one of them had finally made a move, and judging from Mercedes' annoyance, it probably wasn't her. Jim liked his friends to get along and hoped it wouldn't affect things in the house. Having finally found a group of people he enjoyed being around, he would be sad to see it break apart this quickly. He began looking at the notes Andrew had left from last night, when the air in the room seemed to shift and be filled with the white smoke-like substance of spirits. It thickened into the shape of Mary Louise, standing in front of his desk. He looked up and smiled at her.
Mary Louise, you're back.
Yes.
The girl sat down in the chair in front of him. Even though she didn't have a physical body, she still sat so her legs were hanging off the chair.
I've done what you told me to. I talked to some of the spirits that died from those suicides.
And did any of them want to talk to me?
She nodded her head.
Yes, one of them said he would do it if you would pass on what he tells you to his family.
Jim straightened up in his chair.
Of course. Does he have some kind of message he needs them to know?
I don't know. He didn't say. I'll go get him, so you can ask him.
Mary Louise stood up and went through the wall, emerging moments later with a middle-aged man dressed in a suit. The spirit looked remarkably prissy. Jim could even see the creases of the shirt under the suit jacket, and he was sure that if the spirit form had colors, the tie would match the suit. "This is Jim," Mary Louise said. "You can tell him the stuff you wanted to. Jim, this is Thomas." Jim glanced at his list of names and pictures and recognized Thomas Roundtree, the investment banker who had apparently killed himself by throwing a plugged-in toaster into his bathtub while he sat in it.
"Nice to meet you," Jim said. "Can you speak so I can hear it?"
Thomas opened his mouth, and a voice, not as clear or loud as Mary Louise's, but audible enough for Jim and with an obvious dry tone, came out.
"Yes, I can. I want you to tell my family about my secret bank deposit box."
Jim pulled out a sheet of paper.
"Yes, go on."
"My wife, Jennifer, lives at 2250 Columbus Avenue. I want you to tell her to go to New Resources Bank and tell them my name and that I've passed away. They should let her into my box if she brings the key. It's hidden inside the book about Napoleon on my bookshelf."
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Jim wrote it all down.
"I see. Saved a little money for a rainy day, did you?"
"You could say that. There are about $10,000 in cash in there. It's an emergency fund in case I ever had to flee due to a bad investment."
The spirit shrugged.
"It's very important that you tell her."
"I promise. I'll get right on it when we're done here. Will you tell me what I need to know now?"
Thomas nodded.
"I want you to tell me about the day you died. Did you actually kill yourself?"
Thomas shook his head.
"No, I would never do that."
I figured as much. So what happened?"
"It's a crazy story. It was in the morning, right after Jennifer had left to take our son to school. I had just settled into my bathtub with the radio playing the news like I always do on Thursdays. I turn my head and I see the toaster from the kitchen. It's sort of floating along in the air like someone was holding it, but no one was."
Jim leaned forward, his eyes fixed on Thomas.
"Go on."
"The toaster comes closer. It's dragging the cord behind it, and I can see it's plugged in right outside the door. I start to get up to find out what the hell was going on, and the toaster falls straight into the water. I was electrocuted on the spot."
"What happened then?"
"Well, I died, didn't I?"
Thomas shrugged.
"Then, as I was leaving my body and floating up, I see this sort of gray shadow that comes out of the toaster in the water. It flows up around my body and my spirit body, I guess you could say. It was like glue, except it felt cold. Then it was gone, and I was seeing myself lying dead in the tub."
"Did you see this gray stuff again?"
Thomas shook his head.
"No, but I've spoken to a few others. None of them experienced anything like that."
"Tell him about the light, Thomas," Mary Louise said.
"Oh, right. Well, some of the other ghosts or whatever, they said that they'd seen a bright light and been called to move on. I never saw that. I think the gray stuff kind of stopped that from happening."
"Are you saying it removed your chance of an afterlife?" Jim said.
I'm saying that it felt cold and that I didn't see any white light calling me. That's it. Now, please call my wife and tell her about the bank.
Jim picked up his phone. Can you give me the phone number? Thomas gave it to him, and he typed it into the phone.
You should know that when people are contacted by a spirit, and they haven't come here themselves looking for that contact, they're often very skeptical. I'm going to make up a bit of a cover story and glaze over the whole spirit thing, just so you're prepared.
I understand.
Jim pressed the call button, and a moment later the phone was picked up on the other end.
Hello, Jennifer? My name is Jim Corrigan, and I'm sorry to disturb you, but I've got a message from your husband to you.
What?
Oh, yes, I know he's dead. That's part of the reason I'm calling. You see, your husband told me to contact you in case he passed away early. He wanted to make sure you were provided for, and so he's given me permission to give you the details. You need to find the key in your husband's bookshelf. A few minutes later, Jim hung up. I think she believed me. Now it's up to her. I hope she actually looks for the key.
Jim looked at Mary Louise.
That gray stuff could very well be the evil spirit we're looking for. Do you think you could ask around if anyone else is...
Don't bother.
Thomas cut him off.
I already told you I asked around. Nobody's seen anything like this before.
Uh-huh, you said that. But if the gray stuff stopped you from getting the chance to pass on, if it essentially removed your chance of the afterlife, then we need to figure out what it is. Don't you agree? Or are you enjoying life as a spirit so much you wish it on other people?
Thomas looked at his feet. No, of course I don't.
Then, won't you two help me out here? We can't exactly follow a trail of breadcrumbs. A spirit doesn't leave footprints.
No, but it does leave marks,
Mary Louise said. Jim straightened up in his chair.
What did you say?
I said it leaves marks. Anderson taught me that. It's a bit like a smell. You can follow it if it's fresh enough, like a police dog.
Jim had never heard this before in all his years of dealing with spirits. He suspected at once that it was one of the things Anderson had kept hidden from him.
So if you went out to the playground, you could see the marks?
I already went. It's been too long. Too many spirits have been there since it happened. It's all scattered. But if it happens again, maybe.
Then we need to be very attentive. You two need to keep an eye out in the spirit world, and I'll ask the police to keep me updated. I'll call for Mary Louise if I find out anything. And you two, well, just show up, day or night. Deal?
Mary Louise nodded. She looked slightly excited, whereas Thomas looked depressed. Jim understood why. To Mary Louise, this was a break in routine, but Thomas was still new at being a spirit, and he hadn't even chosen to remain behind. The opportunity had been taken from him, and he had very little hope of being freed from the existence he now had.
Do you two think you can locate Simon Trinh, the boy from the playground?
I'll look for him, sure.
Okay, I think that's all for now. Thanks for coming.
The two spirits began to vanish, but Mary Louise gave him a small wave before she faded away. That cheered Jim up a little. For the first time in a while, he had hopes of getting back in the good grace of the spirits. He got up and stuck his head out in the lobby.
Mercedes, would you get the others and come in here for a moment?
When Andrew, Feline, and Mercedes were gathered in the office, Jim could sense the mood in the room was off. Feline was the exception. She was, as always, pretty oblivious to the emotions of people around her. She was playing on her cell phone,
until Jim asked her to put it away. All right, guys. Two things. First thing is, I've just had a spirit meeting and I think we're on to something. Apparently, some spirit is using objects, like we talked about, to kill people and make it look like suicide. We might be able to trace the spirit if it happens again, and we're on the scene fairly quickly. So we need to keep our eyes open. Mercedes, I need you to get in touch with SFPD and tell them we would greatly appreciate a tip the next time there's an apparent suicide without any motive.
I'm assuming you don't care about the jumpers on the Golden Gate? Mercedes said as she made a note on her pad.
No, only the ones that involve objects.
Okay, I'll get on that.
I'll get in touch with Susan and tell her a little about what we found out. I'm not sure it's going to make her feel much better, but at least I can tell her that apparently the spirits haven't found him yet, so he might have passed on.
What does that mean, anyway? Feline asked. Is that like heaven or hell or something?
I don't know. I've never been there. But I know there is something, because when people die, they get the chance to go or stay behind as spirits. Most people take the opportunity to move on to whatever comes next. Otherwise, the world would be crammed full of spirits.
But you don't know what it is? So it might be something bad?
I don't know. You're going to have to wait to find out yourself.
Unless you go to pet heaven, Mercedes said.
Jim looked at her. Okay, second thing. Can you guys please work out your issues? I'm not too keen on having you mad at each other for the next few months.
I just don't get it, Mercedes said. I don't get why you'd sleep with someone who's not even human.
I'm not really sure it's your business who I sleep with or don't sleep with, Andrew said.
It's nobody's business who anybody sleeps with, Jim said. But it's all of our business that this office runs smoothly. I don't want a lot of snide remarks or bickering, okay? Can you guys please talk it over?
Fine.
Mercedes crossed her arms over her chest. Feline gave a sigh.
Okay, I'm bored now. Are we done?
Yes, we're done. You guys go talk it out. I'm not sure it's helpful if I'm a part of it. Jim held his hands up. There are some things a boss just shouldn't be involved in. The three others got up from their seats. On the way out, Andrew stopped and looked at Jim. He winked.
So,
are you going to see her again tonight?
Get out!
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.